For purifying your water is a system that distills your water and filters it. You have the comfort of knowing there is no chlorine, fluoride, bacteria, viruses, pesticides, or lead. You get nothing but H2O. Maximum health. Dr. Robert D. Willicks Jr., MD. Order your tabletop water distiller for $139.99 postpaid. It comes with everything you need to get pure distilled water. Go to superstore.theamericanvoice.com. That's superstore.theamericanvoice.com. Order now.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 5th, 2010. You know, you can always find our updates with the news, our ministry, and this radio program at mbprophecyhour.blogspot.com. mbprophecyhour.blogspot.com. And tonight, I'm going to open this program up with a testimony I got off of our guest webpage of a man called Jason. It goes like this. I was asleep in my basement bedroom when I woke up suddenly and noticed three beings standing at the foot of my bed. I was completely paralyzed and overcome with terror, immediately sensed that these beings were evil. It was very dark in the room, and I could see that they were wearing hooded robes, gold necklaces, and had reptilian skin and large black eyes. They looked almost exactly like the Sleestaks from an old TV show, The Land of the Lost. They floated around to the side of the bed. I sensed that the one in the middle was their leader, and the leader reached down and grabbed my arms with his hands by my biceps and lifted me out of bed. I felt almost completely weightlessness, like a helium balloon. When I was in a standing position but not touching the floor, his mouth opened wide, and he breathed a furnace of hot blast of sulfur-smelling air in my face. Then we began to rotate and sink head first in the floor. I thought they were taking me to hell, and I said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," and instantly I was back in my bed. My heart was pounding out of my chest, and I was soaked with sweat. For a long time, it didn't cross my mind, but I had experienced a classic alien abduction. Yes, this is a classic testimony, I think. These things happen worldwide. Just what are they? Are we indeed entering into the last days before Messiah's return? Tonight we will speak of these so-called aliens, and rather of some things that just go bump in the night. Because you see, saints, the world is in great turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. So it's time to come out of Babylon, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. Your salvation is important. You need to get right with the Lord Yeshua. If you need help after the program and you call me, I will pray for you. And if you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. You can also send me an email if you can't get me by phone. Leave me your phone number. I'll call you back. I have a prayer request of you. Pray about supporting our work with the homeless and poor, and so that we can also continue spreading the gospel in our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. I got a new thing tonight, though. I asked that if you support Radio Airtime and you donate $50 or more monthly towards radio, I'll send you the CDs of the programs for that month. That way you can copy them and pass them out to your friends and everything, and just say CD offer when you donate. You can donate online at messiahsbranch.org, or you can find all our mailing addresses and things there. Now for a prayer, and I'll bring our guest on. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. I ask that what comes out on this program is what you want to come out, and not what my guest wants or what I want, but what you want to come out. And I thank you so much for the time with the world this week. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight is a co-author of a book called Unholy Communion. He is a 15-year UFO researcher, and so let's just get him on and have him speak about himself. I welcome now Joseph Jordan. Are you there with me, Joseph?
Good evening, Pastor Dan. It's my pleasure to be on your show tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And would you rather be called Joseph or Joe?
Joe's fine.
Okay, Joe. Well, Joe, please tell us a little bit about yourself. I didn't find a lot about you on your website, so tell the folks a little bit about you.
Well, by profession, I'm a safety specialist. I am employed out at the Kennedy Space Center here in Florida, and that's the main line of work that I do for a living. But I do have work that I've been doing on the side for going on about 16 years now, and that is the work that I do in the UFO research realm. And I am an alien abduction research investigator, and I've been doing this type of work, like I said, for about 15 years. And I head up a group called CE4 Research Group, and CE4 stands for Close Encounter of the Fourth Kind. And we're a research group where we started out investigating people who made claims of having this so-called alien abduction experience.
Right.
And then we've documented these cases over the years. And eventually it took on a whole nother avenue and ended up becoming an actual Christian ministry. And that's what we've been working with for the past 13 years from that aspect.
Amen. A Christian ministry, most assuredly. Well, I guess we should – now, you just wrote a book. Is that book out pretty recent, On Holy Communion?
Yes, the book is out now, and it's a book that my good friend and fellow researcher David Ruffino authored, and I worked with him on and helping put that book together with the research, which shows a lot of these cases that we've been working with over the years. And this is a long time – wish come true for me that this book is able to get out there in people's hands where they can understand and be able to follow along and fully grasp what this phenomenon is about and, you know, how deceptive this whole experience is. And I met David in 2005 in person. I talked to him on the Internet and by telephone, but in 2005 we met at one of the conferences in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I mentioned to him, I said, you know, Dave, you're a fantastic writer. I've seen the stuff on your website. I'm not a writer at all. I'm more of a speaker. But
right.
I said, I think this book needs to come together. And I asked him, would he be interested in co-authoring with me? And Dave did most of the writing for the book. He put it all together, along with the help that I gave him on putting the research testimonies together. And finally, the book is out there in people's hands right now.
Okay. Well, we'll get your website just before break time. So let's start to go into this. You know, a lot of people, you mentioned UFO, and a lot of them will laugh. A lot of them will cringe in terror. You mentioned aliens, and they see little green men, they think from another planet. But yet there are so many experiences, one after another, and we're seeing a lot more of them lately, I think, come to light. Take us into it. What is this all about?
Well, when I first started into this research back in 1992, I came into this as what you would call a agnostic humanist.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought because of that thinking, that worldview, that I would come into this total objectively and with an open mind to do this honest research. I had no background or familiarity with the idea of UFOs. To me, it was a science fiction subject, but one book introduced me into this and was pretty much the door that opened all of this for me. It was called UFO Crash at Roswell. And to me, it sounded like a science fiction book, but it was actually based on serious research.
Right.
So that's what caught my curiosity, and that's what introduced me into the realm. And it was through this curiosity that I ended up becoming involved in investigations, UFO investigations, with the Mutual UFO Network, which is the world's largest grassroots organization for doing investigations and research into UFOs. And it's been around since 1969. I've been a member since 1992. And it helped me build the foundation for doing proper investigations into this phenomenon.
Okay,
and
let me
started out
in a
doing sighting investigations, and then eventually followed into working with people who claim to have had the alien abduction experience.
Let me break in a second here. By the way, I signed up for your email list or whatever. Folks, you can sign up for an email list over at his website. But we need to. You call this CS4. I know that that you're talking about close encounters of the fourth kind. For the audience, could you tell them what the other three, take us down the list. What are they? One, two, three, four. What are they?
Well, these sightings were classified by Jack Vallée some years back, and they tried to be able to make it so people could refer to what type of sighting investigations or experiences they were referring to when they were doing the research and when they were listening to people giving their stories. A CE1 is just like a unusual, unidentified point in the sky, you know, like what people would say, it looks like a star moving.
Okay? Right.
That would be a CE1. A CE2 would have some kind of effects or traces left with it from the sighting event. And then a close encounter of the third kind, CE3, we're all familiar with that one from Spielberg's famous movie.
Right.
And that one is contact with entities themselves.
Right.
And then the CE4, which is what my research group is named after, that one is close encounters of the fourth kind, which deals with abductions.
Abductions. Well, let's take us into pick out an abduction that you experience and take us into that and give us the experience the person went through and maybe how you helped or how this person got rid of it.
Well, there's some commonality between the different recalled experiences that people have. There are also some differences, but the typical type experience, like most of us have had a chance to see on TV or Hollywood movies, is the people will going to bed at night. They go to sleep, or in this half sleep, you would call it, and they become paralyzed. And this is what they term sleep paralysis experience that's happening at that moment.
Right.
But then things start to happen. They start seeing things that are strange to them. The surroundings start to change. Sometimes they report actually seeing beings appear to them, whether they pass through the walls and appear or just appear right there at the foot of their bed or whatever. And people actually say they recall having themselves taken up on board an alien spaceship,
right,
where strange experiments are done to them, and they're horrific experiments. They're medical type experiments done to them, and then they're returned to their bed, and then out they go. And then most of the time, people come to me and they say, I've had this dream, or I have these memories of this experience. So most of the time, they do not know that the experience has happened, until it comes out as a memory later.
Right.
There are a lot of experiences, though, where people have been woken up or understand what's going on while it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the cases that I've been bringing together over the years where people, in sheer panic during the experience, they
right.
call out the name and authority of Jesus Christ, and the experience abruptly stops.
The experience abruptly stops. Did you hear that, Saints? Okay, now let's go into that a minute. So then doesn't that tell us something about who these things are? I don't want to say who. Let's say what these things are. If you can plead the blood of Yeshua, I use Yeshua, I'm a Messianic, is a blood of Yeshua, and they disappear or are paralyzed or go away, what does that say about them?
Well, it brings up a serious red flag that must be looked at. And when I first encountered this, when I came across this in my first case ever where I saw this happen, I had to question it because the secular realm of research out there says that you cannot stop an experience while it's happening in any manner. Yet I came across this one unusual case back in 1997 that I had to honestly look at. And I ended up talking to some of the top secular abduction researchers in the realm, ones that people still rely on today for answers to what's going on. And off the record, they did tell me that they had also come across cases similar to this, where people using prayer or a Christian song or calling the name of Jesus, the experience did stop. Well, my question to them at that point was, why are you not sharing this? And they said at first they didn't understand, you know, they didn't know what to make of it. But they also made the comment to me that we were afraid to go there because it might affect our credibility in the realm. In other words, getting into a spiritual aspect of the experience. Well,
right.
To me, by not sharing this information for whatever reason, when people are relying on you for the truth, you're covering up. So I believe that's something that we've had to deal with and look at over the years. And that's what started me on to looking for more cases like this, because I told them, I said, you're telling me the case that I came across first here is real. You're telling me there's other ones that you've come across, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to gather this data of case histories and show the world that this is possible. And that's what I've been working on for the past 13 years.
So right now, let's just clear the air with this. So right now, then, we seem to be thinking or saying to the world out there, let me say this, that these are then just demonic. They're fallen angels. Is that what we're saying?
That's what we believe we're dealing with, looking at the research and the evidence and how it fits biblically. The
Amen.
Ability that is reported of these entities during the encounters mirrors the abilities of angels that are read, that are written about in Scripture. The thing that you also have to look at that also brings up a red flag is the communication that we get from these entities to the people that are experiencing these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
There is communication that is documented over the years where messages have been left by these entities during the experience. And these messages are always anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-creation, anti-Bible. So that's another red flag that has to be looked at. If these were extraterrestrial, otherworldly beings, why would they be coming all the way across the universe to come against one particular religion on this planet when there are so many other religions that don't even agree with each other, except that they are also anti-Christ?
Yeah, amen. I agree. So you're basically they're coming forth with their, they're attacking Christians or coming across with their own doctrines themselves, the doctrine of devils. What do you know? So amen. So as you let's go forward. So you found the one case, then you just started stacking cases. So you, people started coming forward. What happened?
Well, we had an opportunity back in 1999. To actually get an article in our local paper here about the work we were doing. And we thought, you know, that's great. We got an article out here, and hopefully somebody will see it and contact us and,
right,
you know, come forward. Well, it happened to be that that newspaper, that article came out in here in our local paper, was just a small newspaper under a bigger organization. And that bigger organization ended up running the article in a lot of their affiliates around the country.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't long. I was getting calls from all over the country. And then it was picked up on the Internet, and it wasn't but a few months later, it actually, the same article that was printed in my local paper ended up verbatim in the Flying Saucer Review, which at the time was probably one of the most well-noted, you know, UFO magazines in the world. So we went worldwide in a short matter of time which let people know that we were there and you could share your stories with us and them not be just, you know, hidden and put under the carpet for nobody to listen to.
Wow, isn't our Father wonderful?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, that's miraculous. That's a testimony in and of itself. You put a little ad in, and the next thing you know, you're worldwide. You know, amen. So you know you must have thought you was doing the right thing then.
Well, we knew we were when we started getting the cases started to add up, and we were able to get a lot of questions answered, you know, that even the secular researchers are still asking today. You know, the big question is, why does this happen to people? And you know, they still don't have an answer for that. But yet, working with hundreds of cases, we were able to finally get some answers for those questions that we can help people with. And, you know, we ended up with three answers for that.
Okay,
and
let's hear
it. Either happens one of those three ways or a combination of, you know, any of those three.
Okay. Well, can you tell us what those three are?
Sure. The first one, and this one's probably going to be a surprise to most people out there, but there are people that actually ask for this experience.
They ask for it?
Yeah, believe it or not, they do.
Okay.
We've been at UFO conferences and working the tables, and people will come up to us, and they see that we have something to do with abductions, but they really don't know what yet because they haven't talked to us yet. Mm-hmm. But they come up and they say, boy, I'd like to experience that to understand what it's about.
Oh, really?
Be very careful what you ask for. Because
yeah,
there's an entity out there that's listening for that. And some of those people have actually had that happen to them because they've asked for it. The second one that we started to see were people that had unknowingly opened the door to this experience. And what I mean by that is some of the common things we were seeing here that led to that open door were dealing with occult activities or New Age practices or metaphysical practices,
right.
Those things that God warned us not to deal with. And those practices seem to be an open door for these entities to have that experience come upon you because you've allowed it. You've given them the right to do that.
Okay, I'm going to butt in here. We got to go to break here in about 30 seconds. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to.
Okay.
So why don't you, now I know you folks on satellite, you probably ought to get a pin or whatever, but if not, those on the net, what's your website? Where can they contact you at?
You can get a hold of us at www.ce4, that's the number 4, research.com.
Can you say it one more time?
CE4, research.com.
Okay, folks, and those of you that will be listening, that listen to this in the archives or listen now, later on when it goes to archives, there will be a link to this website, and we'll be back with more in 3 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Whether using your cell phone for business or staying in touch with family, your cell phone use is increasing. Use the Wave Shield, developed for ultimate cellular protection. The Wave Shield blocks, reduces, and deflects up to 97% of the radiation from entering the soft tissue of your ear. The Wave Shield, made of a patented mesh material, is proven and tested to block radiation without affecting reception. Order your Wave Shield today for only $19.95.
Did he just say $19.95? Hey, times are tough, so American Voice Radio Network is cutting the price to $17. That's right, $17.95 plus mailing. You can protect yourself, family, and friends from cell phone danger to your inner ear. $17.95 at theamericanvoice.com. That's the superstore at theamericanvoice.com. $17.95 plus mailing. Order now.
You
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you. And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the Internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
I got held up in the briars, and that's when I looked up and saw it. And it made no noise. The trees didn't move, or the leaves blew away. Ricky Sorrell, Stephenville Lights. I went into sort of a shocked tailspin as I realized that the abductions were real. I said to myself, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, repeatedly for about 6 months. Dr. David Jacobs. They always communicated to me telepathically. An idea would come into my mind to go out and take pictures, or they would have me start drawing symbols, which was some type of language I had no knowledge of. They called it light language. The Alien Interviews is a hard-hitting expose conducted with 17 people who have had direct. The Alien Interviews is now available in paperback for only $10. Get informed, as UFOs are real, burgeoning, and not going away. Go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net. And pick up your copy of The Alien Interviews, www.lamarzulli.net.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary cuts. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare, while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Americans for Immigration Control is a leading national organization dedicated to reasonable levels of legal immigration and effective enforcement to stop illegal immigration. With more than 250,000 members and supporters nationwide, we are an effective voice for immigration reform. AIC stands up in Washington for the views of most Americans on immigration. We are the leaders in stopping recent legislation to reward 10 million or more illegal aliens with legal status and eventual citizenship. The late Georgia Congressman Charlie Norwood had this to say about us. AIC has earned a reputation among members of Congress as one of the most active and responsive advocacy groups in the field of immigration. Join AIC today. For more information, go to our website, immigrationcontrol.com. That's immigrationcontrol.com or call 540-468-2023. That's 540-468-2023.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember tonight to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor in Wichita at our Mission Church. And don't next week's live program with Joseph Farrar, I guess I pronounced it right, the founder of WorldNet Data. He'll be on here to talk about the Tea Party and some other things, so it's a do-not-miss program. And I just checked, TalkStream Live tonight has us rated at number 4, if that means anything to you. But we're now back with Joseph Jordan talking about the book, Unholy Communion. Are you there with me, Joseph, or Joe?
I'm here.
All right. You were just before break, we were going into three things. Recant the second one, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Okay. I'll even start with the first one. The first one is people actually ask for this experience. Number two that we found that causes people to have this experience is they're dabbling into New Age and occult practices that this experience is associated with and allows these entities the right to come in and harass you with this type of experience. So it's an open door is what we're seeing, and people are opening these doors to this type of experience. You open it to the experience of supernatural of ghosts, believe me, you're probably going to experience a ghost. So be careful what you open up to.
Let me ask
the third
you
one. Sure.
Before you go to three, I want to talk about two for just a second, if you don't mind, please. Couldn't that be something just as simple as using, which I have a lot of problem with, is it a Ouija board? Could that even bring it in?
I believe that it can. I believe the intent that people use these things is for power, for contacting the other side, where we're warned about dealing with spirits, wanting to be doing something to contact the spirit realm. I think when you use it for these intent purposes, I think you are actually opening a door to these entities.
Right, and, you know, we have so much stuff out there right now, you know, in the age that we live in with fortune tellers and just all kinds of things. You can find them on the Internet, and these things just, you know, are just very, very predominant. So this number two seems like a very critical thing.
It is, and I believe that this is the way the enemy works. The enemy, it's like the old show that used to be on where you choose behind what's door number one or door number two or door number three.
Oh, my.
The entity has millions of these doors, and he's asking us, choose one. You know, thing is, we're not choosing the right one. The right one says that, you know, Jesus Christ says, I stand at the door and knock. That's
right.
The one we need to be choosing if you want to be protected from the type of harassment that these entities will bring upon you.
Okay, amen. Well, I guess let's go to three then.
Number three puzzled us for a while because what we were seeing were people that were coming to us and saying that they had remembered having these experiences since they were a little child. Well, that puzzled us in the aspect that these children were too innocent at a young age like that to be asking for the experience and even unknowingly opening the door to these experiences. So there had to be another cause for these children to be affected at this very young age. I'm talking 4, 5, 6, you know, that they can remember.
Right.
And we started, as investigators, we started getting deeper into what their family life was like and asking them about their parents' activities, what their belief systems were that they could remember. And in every instance, we find out that the open doors came from the family upbringing, and there wasn't a spiritual covering from the head of the household over the family. And that's something that is talked about in Scripture. That is why we're supposed to bring up our children in the Word. And
amen.
We're also supposed to be faithful and righteous, you know, men, leaders of the home, to keep that spiritual covering over the household. And when you don't see that, you're seeing all sorts of demonic activity.
Well, let me say this. You know, I'm a pastor, and I told you before the program, we've dealt with casting out demons. I have many. Our classic case was a 14-year-old boy that I even chained him to the floor of the church with pleading the blood of Jesus over him, over his arms, and we put spiritual chains on his arms that he could raise up against these chains, and you could see the imprints of chains on his arm, but you couldn't see the chains. But he had no spiritual covering, as you say, over his family, you know what I mean? The family
right.
weren't, he had a stepdad, and you know, it was all, there's no spiritual covering. And this is the same on and on and on throughout our society now. We have godless households.
And I think that's another avenue of attack that the enemy has been working on us over the over the centuries, is trying to divide the family life. You know, if you look at everything that the enemy is doing, not only in this phenomenon, but in other ways that the enemy is attacking humanity and trying to deceive us, the attacks are coming against everything where our foundation is based, and that's in Genesis. All of our morality and even creationism itself is all being attacked. The enemy's attacking us at the foundation. Because right. If you can attack the foundation, then it falls.
Well, of course. We all know if we want to kill a tree, we kill its roots.
Absolutely.
Well, amen. So, why, I mean, do you think that, now talking about this, with the way society is now, with the Internet and everything, do you think that the attacks are all more prominent because of the age that we're living in the sense that, you know, of this age, or just something else? Is something coming?
I believe that there possibly could be something more coming, and I think we're seeing a build-up to it. I think we've seen a lot of it coming about through time. You know, remember that, you know, years ago when they took prayer out of school, that was the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the whole idea of having abortion legalized, that's the next step. You know, and it's constantly one thing after another. And I believe it's going to come to a head at some point. You know, are we living in the end times? I don't know. You know, the way I look at it, I try to live as though we are in the end times, or I'm in the end times. In other words, tomorrow could be my last day.
Yeah.
So I live today, and I try to do the Lord's work as if tomorrow is my end time.
Amen. That's very well stated, very well good. That's what I try to tell people, you know, while this I call this an end-time radio program or end-of-the-age radio program, because I believe that the signs are there that Messiah will return within the age. I don't absolutely know, but it isn't just about that. We need to have personal salvation. We need to live as if that we our next breath could be our last. And so, therefore, we need to be right with God or Yahweh right now, and we need to have the Son in us, and we need to be living that life. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, simply put, too, you know, a lot of people out there are lost, and they don't know about so many things. I'm going to tell you this, folks. If what you do doesn't glorify God, then don't do it. And it is short and long of that. If you can't glorify God in your life, then your life's wrong. You need to glorify God in what you do because, you know, if you claim to be saved, then you're supposed to be like him and doing his work. You're supposed to produce fruits. And that is what where you're supposed to be at. And so let's go. I'm getting off topic, but praise his name. So are you helping a lot of people? Or are you getting a lot of people over there? What are you doing?
Well, we do get a lot of calls. We get a lot of emails. And, you know, as a ministry, it continues. At the same time, as a research group, that part also continues.
Right.
And they kind of work hand in hand. When I was called into this, doing this work by the Lord back in 1997, mm-hmm. when I first became a believer in November of 97, and everything changed for me. I came out of 4 or 5 years working into the New Age and metaphysics myself. So I've seen this phenomenon from three different sets of eyes. And believe me, this is the one that, as a Christian believer in Jesus Christ, I've been able to see it all for what it really is. And we've been able to start documenting these cases. And I believe that these testimonies, it's the testimonies of these people's lives that have been able to stop this experience in the name and authority of Jesus Christ and get their lives back from this deception. This is the best evidence in the world today, I think in the entire world, of who being able to show these entities for who they really are. I've got right at 95 posted, written, and audio testimonies on my website right now. I have another 6 or 7 in the wings that I just haven't gotten up on the website yet. So I've got 100 easy testimonies to show that this is not what it seems. And it's the most hated research and evidence in the UFO research realm. They don't want this information out there. It goes against the agenda that they're pushing. Well, and it makes them answer to a one true God.
Okay. I don't mean to interrupt, but I guess that's what I do. What do you mean by going against their agenda? I mean, you would think that the regular UFO people would like for you to do this, but no?
No, they don't. And that's something we've had to deal with over the years. Not only is this a hard message to reach to the average church folk to understand and grasp what's happening here and to even convince them that this is an event that can destroy lives and there's millions of people in this mission field that need help, but trying to share this evidence in the UFO research community has been very tough also. These people, you know, they're tied in with the whole idea of New Age practices and metaphysics, you know, right along with the rest of the phenomenon. You know, they have their agendas. They don't want to believe in, you know, God of the Bible. They want their salvation to come from Space Brothers or whatever, or through this so-called seemingly high technology from these alien entities. They think that will save us, you know. They're looking for a salvation in a different place. And I've used this term before, and what I see is they're looking for their own spirituality, but without accountability.
Spirituality without accountability. That's devilish.
That is.
Most assuredly. So, you know, in and of itself, they're bringing it on. They're being dubbed and used. If they're not bringing forth the God part of it, it's like this, you know, you're either of God or you're of the devil, so to speak, you know. There's no way, there's only one way, and that's through the Son to the Father, so it has to be the opposite, right?
Sure.
Okay. So let's go on. Question I was going to ask you, let's go with that. Explain to the people, we talked about this ahead of time, and I want to make sure that you get your what you believe they are out there. About, you know, them being spirit, and there seems to be some kind of a misconception in maybe one of your statements that you made. These things do actually manifest. Tell us your belief, like you told me earlier.
Well, the question is, how does the actual experience itself happen? And that is a most confusing thing to try to explain with people. You know, keep in mind, this experience is as real to them as you and I talking to each other right now.
Right.
It can't be discerned that it's anything but real to the people that have had the experience. Are these people actually taken somewhere? I do not believe that happens. I do not believe they're taken to a ship. I do not believe that what they're remembering as physical aspects to the experience can really be happening. You gave an example that if you look at it very carefully, that one Jason that you made in the beginning, and you showed, you know, he felt that he was being levitated into the air, that he felt weightless.
Right.
Okay? That's not possible. Okay? So that's not a physical event that's happening to him. You cannot go against and defy God's physical laws. You can have an experience that makes you perceive that you are defying those laws. But that's the whole purpose of this deception. Remember, what we're dealing with here, and I believe this is what this is we are told that a strong delusion would come upon humanity that it would be so powerful that, if possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And I have to always go back to what that scripture says in its simplicity. What we're dealing with is a delusion, okay? That's deception, that's illusion. And it's whatever it takes. These entities can create whatever it takes to make you believe what's happening with them and you is real.
Okay.
That's how they seduce you away from the one true God, through this deception. And can there be physical manifestations to this experience?
Uh-oh.
I do believe yes. I do believe that these are fallen angels. They have the ability to manifest physically to help promote the experience, to help promote the believability of the experience.
Right.
Can they manifest physically and leave marks on you and things like that to help with that deceptive memory that you have that they've given you? Absolutely. It's whatever it takes to make you believe.
Let me ask you a question, and this just came up on my mind. I don't give it weight one way or another. Going back to this experience, he said he was levitated in the air and he felt he was being drawn through the floor. Do you think that the possibility of maybe that it wasn't his body, that maybe that there was some way of drawing his spirit out?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that a lot of these experiences that these people are having are in what some people would call the astral state, an out-of-body type experience, an astral experience, where it's in the spirit. Remember, Paul even said that when he was taken up to the third heaven. He says, I know not whether I'm in my body or not, you know.
Right.
So he couldn't even tell the difference. Was he physically taken to the third heaven? Most likely not. But he was taken in the spirit. But it was so convincing, so real, that he couldn't even discern which it was.
Yeah, amen. And you just described a dream vision. I've had dream visions before from the Lord, and that's what it's like. It's like you're really there, but I do not believe your body isn't really there, but it's just like panoramic, like you're just there, and it's so real, but it's a spiritual thing. And that's
exactly
where I believe that this is at. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So we got a few more minutes. What do you want to tell the? You got about 3 minutes. What in this 3 minutes do you want to say to the people out there? And what help can you offer, or insight can you offer, or what?
The one thing that I want people to understand about this so-called UFO and alien abduction experience, because the question comes up: if this is not extraterrestrial, if they're only posing as extraterrestrials, these entities, what is the purpose of this whole deception? Why do they put on this guise of extraterrestrials? Why this deception? And there are some good answers for that, and people need to understand why. Because what we're seeing here is they're using this guise, because I believe what we're dealing with here are the same entities that are recorded in history of coming in the form of elves and fairies and whatever.
Right. I agree, too.
We wouldn't accept that in this time, okay? We would look for something. We would accept something that would be so-called many thousands of years more advanced than us, something of appearing as high technology.
Right.
And the idea that there would possibly be life elsewhere in the universe. These are the things that have seduced us, and these entities know that they can use this idea. But remember, the purpose is they are evangelizing humanity with a false gospel. They're bringing their New Age gospel to humanity through this deception, because that is what the end game is always about if you get caught up in this experience. It never leads you to God, okay? These entities want to lead you away from God. They're wanting to change the way they want to change your worldview if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible. That's their purpose. And this is that end time delusion we are talking about. You know, the questions come up also about life out there in the universe. I don't believe there is any. I don't believe there's a possibility for any. I believe what this enemy is doing with this deception is trying to take one of the most important things that God has given us, and that's the awe factor. This world and this universe was made for us.
Right. Amen.
So we could be in awe of this creator of the universe. This is how special we are. He made all of that for us, and I believe this enemy is trying to take that away from us through this experience.
You made a comment, it's on your website or something, or you sent it to me, and you said, we were made as examples to the angels?
Yes. What we do in this lifetime is, our testimony is to be an example to the angels themselves. Remember, Scripture says us that in the end, we will even be judging angels.
Yeah.
It's how we react to Jesus Christ and how we come to his saving grace. And our testimony of where we've come from when we do that is to be an example to those angels. And not only the good angels, but the fallen angels.
Amen.
Testimonies to them also.
Amen. Okay, well, let's go with this. Now, suppose somebody that's been listening tonight has had sleep paralysis or has had a strange dream vision like what we're talking about, have been afraid to talk about it. What can they do? Can you offer any help?
If they've had these experiences and they're having memories of having these experiences, first of all, they have to understand that what we're sharing with them here, that the name and authority of Jesus Christ can prevent these experiences, can stop these experiences. If they're able to call out while the experiences are happening, I think they will see that these entities must react when they are given that name. Also, I think getting into a relationship close with Jesus Christ will bring them out of being involved in any way and help close these doors that have somehow been opened. And I would go back and look at your life and see if there are some open doors that have caused the experience to happen in the first place. These doors need to be closed, a closer relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then if you're dabbling in anything out there, even researching on the Internet, looking for all the answers that you think are there, okay, that right there are open doors. You need to shut these doors. You need to move on and get in fellowship with Jesus Christ and other believers and get away from this phenomenon completely. Because anything you do that's involved with this phenomenon is always going to be an open door for these entities to try and harass you and try to deceive you.
Right. I agree. So could they contact you?
Oh, sure. We have email and phone contact on the website. I'm dealing with people every week. I've got two or three cases going all at one time. I'm not so concerned about getting a testimony as I am about helping people just get free.
Okay.
If I'm able to get a testimony out of it, it helps in the research, trying to reach the secular lost world. It's the evidence itself.
Well, I'm going to have to cut this short because I only got about a minute or so, and I'm going to have to say goodbye myself. Why don't you give your website one more time, and then I'll say goodbye to you.
Okay, it's www.ce4research.com. And I'd like to leave with one last thing, something I say at the end of all my talks. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Blessed are you, Lord God, King and Ruler of the universe.
Well, amen. That was wonderful. I use that myself. Well, God bless, and thanks for being on. Goodbye and shalom to you, my brother.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Folks, listen, this is a serious thing. If you're having any kind of experience like this, strongly suggest they're demonic. That's the end of the story. They're demonic. They're not little beings from another world. This is a serious thing. On another night, this Sunday night, or on the first day of the week, our Mission Watch program at 8 p.m. Central this week will play the second part of this program, which is with David Ruffino, the man he wrote this book with. And so we have a second part to this on the first day of the week. So don't miss that. In fact, if you listen on the Internet, you know, we come on 7 on Sunday night on ABR 1 and then at 8 o'clock on ABR 2. So you can hear them back-to-back or tell your friends, hey, we can hear these two programs back-to-back. Anyway, pray about supporting our work with the homeless and poor in our mission church. Really pray about it tonight. We really do need your help. And pray about supporting radio, because this is a real live satellite radio program. It's not just live on the Internet, so it costs for airtime. So pray about supporting that. Anyway, I better get out of here. Remember, you always be a blessing to others. You have to show Messiah's love through you. Be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because they're never going to have peace over there until he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and then a little while after. Anyway, Lord our God, Father King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that Yahweh blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next week, or till the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah.